Our first reading is from Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. And if you'd like to follow it, it's on page 1094 of the Pew Bibles. And it should also be on the screen. So that's page 1094 or on the screen. The fellowship of the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Second reading is taken from John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. And can be found on page 1076 in the Bibles in the pews, and it's on the screen. John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. The shepherd and his flock. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you.
Did it move down or not? Great. Well, it's great to be with you this morning. For those that don't know, I'm probably normally at St. Saviour's, but do wander around the parish a bit. So it's really great to be down here, actually. It's quite exciting for me. So just a moment's quiet and a short prayer. Heavenly Father, may my lips faithfully speak your word, and may all our hearts be open to receive it, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I wonder if you've ever joined or maybe currently belong to a club or organisation where your membership is only a token gesture. You don't really participate in its activities or help with its organisation. You just are a member. I know I do, and I don't always feel very comfortable with that. Is there a Sunday morning when it's all too easy just to turn over in bed and not go to church? And I don't mean those occasions when it really isn't physically possible for you to get to church. I read a very short illustrative story told by a reputable preacher and writer. It goes, one Sunday, a mother shook her son awake, telling him it was time to go to church. No effect. 10 minutes later, she was back. Get out of bed immediately and go to church. Sounds like sort of school mornings, really, doesn't it? Mother, I don't want to. It's so boring. Why should I bother? For two reasons, she replied. Firstly, you know you must go to church on Sunday. And secondly, you are the bishop of this diocese. But it's not only bishops, I'm sure, who sometimes feel that no desire to go to church or it's easier to do something else. There are many more people who say they believe in God than gather to worship together. Why go to church? Once upon a time, the local church was probably a gathering of one's natural community, not really anymore. Why not belong to a virtual Christian community through social media? I'm sure many do. So why should that dozy bishop in our story, or any of us, get out of bed and go to church? The church may be cold. The sermon may be dull and irritating. Judgment's out on that at the moment. The music uninspiring and the pews hard. Nothing exciting may appear to happen. But I hope none of that is true here this morning, although I can't vouchsafe for the pews. I hope everything else is okay. And as will hopefully become apparent when we look at this morning's reading from Acts, and that's page 1094 if you want to follow in the Bibles. We gather because Christ gathers us. As Jesus said to the people at Jerusalem, "How often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." So let's start by putting our passage just simply in context. The book of Acts effectively provides a bridge between the Gospels and the apostolic letters. It describes how the work of Jesus was continued through the apostles' teaching and through the early church. And our short passage follows after the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost and Peter's address to the crowds. We read slightly earlier in verse 41 that those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. And our reading describes that fellowship of believers. Verse 42 seems to sum up much of what Christian discipleship is all about. They, that is the early church, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So what does all that mean for us today? I think it means a bit of TLC. Together in Christ, loving in Christ, and cheerful in Christ. Together in Christ, loving in Christ, and cheerful in Christ. So first, together in Christ. It's really about that quality of togetherness, isn't it? A sense of unity and common purpose. And that comes out loud and clear in this passage. For a start, the word together appears three times. And the words all and every feature very often as well in a short passage. Verse 44 sums it up. All the believers were together and had everything in common. And they were doing the important things together. The new converts hadn't just added Christianity to their lives in the way one adds a new credential to a CV or a new club membership to one's portfolio. They were really devoting themselves to the Christian experience. They devoted themselves to learning, breaking bread, and to prayer. And they met every day in the temple courts. It seems that for a short period they could actually do that in safety, but that was about to change, because the next few chapters in Acts describe the external opposition and the persecution that came to the apostles. But this fellowship of believers not only met in the temple courts, they met in their homes as well. They broke bread in their homes. The church is not actually a building, is it? Even though it's great to have a lovely building like this to worship in. The church is a family of people who belong to God and are bound together by the Holy Spirit that gives them love for Jesus and love for each other. Words from the first letter of Peter encapsulate this. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you might declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. We talk about going to church, but in truth, we are already in the church. We are the church. What we mean is we go to a local church to worship God. And the building provides a venue for us to meet together. And it's important to gather together and to work together. Put it this way, God made us a dependent people, dependent on him and his resources, and dependent on one another. I've seen it expressed like this. There is not room in the Christian church for the independent, only the interdependent. As Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Every Christian is vitally important in the whole church. No one is unimportant. But as we need to be together in Christ, we should also be loving in Christ. We come to know and love God through Jesus, through the study of his word and through prayer and worship. And we've already seen how diligent the early converts were in this respect, and probably how lacking we often are in our readiness to do that. It doesn't really need the proof of psychological research to emphasize people's need for love and affection. And that need for love can also include the need to belong and to be an appreciated part of a group of human beings. So we're back to that theme of togetherness again. And God will meet our need for love and affection, as Paul's well-known words in the letters to the Romans affirm. I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's just a lovely conviction to have, isn't it? And emanating from that love is support and sharing. We've seen that the fellowship of believers in Acts was selling their possessions and goods. They gave to everyone as had need. They were demonstrating a generous attitude towards material things, but they weren't just getting rid of them. They were providing for those that were lacking essentials. They were taking responsibility for each other. And the capacity for sharing is an important distinguishing mark of a healthy and true local church. As the letter to the Hebrews says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And support for each other can take many forms, not just material or financial support, although physical needs are important. And many of us will have benefited from the prayer support of our Christian family. I know personally how much the prayers of this parish meant to my husband and I when we moved away, and 2 months after moving, he had a massive heart attack. And I remember the vicar, the late Michael Perry, praying down the phone with me. And I'd never had that experience before, and it was just like quite amazing. I thought, we've moved away and these people are still thinking of us. So it's no wonder we came back here when Roger had recovered sufficiently. And I think as a number of us have really experienced what it's like to have a fellowship of believers here. But it's quite a task, actually, for the local church to be a loving, caring fellowship. Sadly, the Christian family is sometimes a contradiction of those values. It can divide into cliques. It can lack spiritual dynamism. It has internal divisions. And basically, it can be a bit scary to someone on the outside. And we must always be aware of that danger. And how important today for our fellowships to reflect those values to the wider society with all its needs and with all its failings. But one helpful antidote to that danger is to be cheerful in Christ. And in the fellowship we heard about this morning, everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Verse 43. That was a church where things were happening. And if we expect great things from God, and if we attempt great things from God, things will happen. If we aim at nothing, we'll achieve nothing. And one of the fruits of the Spirit must surely be the joy which the early church experienced in that fellowship of togetherness, loving and sharing. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Verse 46. And those glad and sincere hearts then manifested themselves in the worshipping and praising of God. It was a church whom others could not help liking. And that's so good. They're looking and saying, what have these people got? It was enjoying the favour of all people. And as a result, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So a warm, active and loving Christian fellowship will probably do more to bring people to Jesus Christ than all the evangelistic crusades we can try and launch. People might see in that Christian fellowship a love that they don't experience in their own families or they don't see in that world outside. And worship should be one way in which we can show we are cheerful in Christ, although sometimes you walk into a church and you do wonder, don't you? And joining together with fellow Christians to thank God for his love and goodness must surely be a joyful thing to do. And if anyone has reason to be cheerful, it is a Christian. And it's a pity it's not always so. And a gloomy Christian is perhaps a contradiction in terms. But having said that, one knows it's not always easy. We are human after all, and we cannot necessarily feel full of joy all the time. But we should strive to be a happy church and to encourage each other. So, if we can be together in Christ, loving in Christ, and cheerful in Christ, we should be more able to reflect God's grace and glory and thus encourage others to join this fellowship of believers. Why go to church? To be sent from it. In our opening story, the bishop was reluctant to get out of his warm bed and comfortable home to go to church. We don't have to worship and pray in a church. Some of our fellowship are unable to do that, and we have to do other ways of bringing them into the fellowship. But for those of us that can, it's great to be here together in this place. And I hope and pray that all of you have received a warm welcome here this morning, and that maybe as a result of worshipping here today together as God's church, we may be more together in Christ, loving in Christ, and cheerful in Christ. That is, full of a little TLC, and be able to reflect more TLC to others. Together in Christ, loving in Christ, and cheerful in Christ. Shall we hold a moment's quiet reflection before I close in prayer? Heavenly Father, may we always remember that where two or three come together in your name, you are there with them. And as your fellowship of believers in this place, may we know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly, day by day. And may our love for you be clearly reflected in our love for each other and draw others to want to know you too, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.